Bibles with me this morning to the book of Matthew chapter 10. And our text is in verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. This subject is very somber, and it is one that we don't hear much about anymore. Most people, and I'm talking now about Christians, do not believe in hell anymore. It is a subject that is not to be discussed. It is not even to be mentioned. And if I were to ask you how long it had been since you've heard a sermon on hell, most of you couldn't remember. Why is that? Because of our surroundings, we have become so blatantly opposed to this doctrine that we don't believe it anymore. We just don't count that. And in fact, most people say, well, I know about the love of Jesus, and I know that he wouldn't do anything like putting a person into an eternal punishment. Isn't that what people say? Isn't that what people believe? That's right. I want to preach this morning on the theme of the teaching of Jesus Christ on the doctrine of hell. I got four parts for you. Number one, it is true according to what Jesus teaches. Number two, it is plain. There's no question about what it's taught. Number three, it is just. And number four, it is for sinners who do not repent and believe on Jesus Christ. So why preach on the doctrine of hell? I suppose most of you have seen this tragedy where a ship lost its power and crashed into the suspension of a bridge, and the bridge fell into the river. Now I want you to think about something. Would you be able to go out to that wreck site and know exactly how to go about pulling all that out of the river? I don't think a one of you would say you would. I haven't got a clue. But there are men that do. They know how to do that kind of thing. They know what to do. They know what kind of equipment they're going to need, and they know how to start. They know the first step to take. You know, you give them credit, wouldn't you? I admire those people that can do that kind of thing because they're needed in that kind of a situation. But let me remind you that Jesus Christ knows more about the salvation of a soul and the punishment of the lost than any man knows about that kind of salvage work. And we'd better listen to him. We'd better bow our knees to him, because he tells us here in the text to fear not those that can kill the body. I'm afraid of those that can kill me. I've been through a few situations where I thought maybe I was going to die. That makes you afraid, doesn't it? But Jesus said, don't let that bother you. But be afraid of him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. So why do we preach then on the subject of hell? Not because I want to. I told Brother Steve Cornett yesterday, he asked me what I was going to preach on today, and I told him, he said, I'll be praying for you. Preachers know how difficult this subject is. But we are bound by the calling of God to preach the whole counsel of God. everything that God's revealed. We're not to pick and choose. We're to take the whole and preach on that. And so the servant of God must deliver the message that he's been sent to give. We're like the ambassador. The ambassador does not compose the message. He's given the message by the king, and he takes it to the foreign countries, and he presents it. He doesn't say, "Now, I've thought this through, and I think." No, he just gives the message to those that it was sent by the king. And the king of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, has sent this message to us. And therefore, we ought to give all heed to it. And we are responsible to believe it. So what Scripture reveals, and this you have to get down first. What Scripture reveals is the truth of God. I don't care what the subject is. It's the truth of God if it's in the Scripture, because God inspired this book, and every word of it is His word, His doctrine, His truth, and we're to believe it, we're to preach it, we're to practice it. That's important. Jesus Himself appealed to the Scripture. He said, "It is written." And if it's written in the Scripture, it's true. And you need to pay attention to it. Are you going to believe the word of Jesus Christ? Or are you going to take what society says? What they say? What the wise people say? What the famous preachers say? Or what these synagogues of Satan teach? Jesus Christ gave us the text. "And fear not them which kill the body." There are men that will do that. There are men that have no more respect for human life than they would the slapping of a mosquito. Jesus said, "Don't fear them, but are not able to kill the soul." They're limited in what they can do. Can they take the life? Of sure. They can shoot us with a gun, stab us with a knife, run over us with a vehicle, or any number of other ways, but they can't touch the soul. The soul never dies. It will be restored again if they take the life, the physical life from us today. One day we'll be restored. You remember that my wife and I, we were talking on the way to church, and I brought up the thing about Ahab, the wicked king in Samaria. And he wanted the vineyard that Naboth had. And so he went down there, and it was close to his palace. And it was ideal for his situation. And he said, "I'll give you a better vineyard for this one because I want yours. It's right here next to mine." For, you know what he was doing? That king was violating the law of God. Thou shalt not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. But that's what he did. And you remember what happened? He went home, pouted like a baby because Naboth said, "I can't do it. It's a family heir. I can't do that." And Jezebel, his wife, she was from Tyre, a wicked woman, an idolater. She came in and she said, "What's the matter with you? Pouting like a baby." And he told her, and she said, "Don't get up and eat and anoint yourself. I'll get that vineyard for you." So she got some of the men of Belial, wicked men, that she knew would lie. And there's always people around like that around. And people know who they are. And she called them. She said, "You have a feast, and I want you to put Naboth at the very head of the table. And then I want you to say, that you heard him curse God, and then I want you to take him out, stone him to death so he'll die. And they did. And Naboth died, the rocks falling on his head, and Jesus saying, don't you be afraid of them that kill the body. They're limited. It can't go any further. They will take your life, but they can't take your soul. Don't be afraid of them. You remember what the prophet did? The prophet, right after Naboth was dead, Ahab run right down to that vineyard to take over. And the prophet came right in and said, where the dogs licked Naboth's blood, the dogs will lick your blood. And Naboth had died as a just man, but Ahab was going to die as a wicked man. And he went out to battle, and he didn't put on his king's robes because he was afraid, because he knew what the prophet had said. So he thought if he just dressed like a soldier, nobody would be able to know who he was, and he'd be all right. But there was a certain man, directed of God, took his bow and his arrow, and he wasn't looking at nobody. He just shot over at the enemy. And that arrow was guided by the hand of God, and it found the chink in Ahab's armor and penetrated and cut a blood vessel. And he stayed up in his chariot to sundown, but the blood ran out in the chariot and he died. And they took the chariot back to Samaria, and a man was washing it out. And guess what? The dogs came and licked the blood of Ahab exactly like the Lord said he would. So we're not to let men press us to fear. So the scripture about Jesus Christ's declaration on hell. Did you know that almost everything we know about hell came from the lips of Jesus Christ? That word, hell, comes from Hinnom, the valley of Hinnom. And do you know what that referred to? That referred to the beating of the drums and the cymbals that took place in that valley when the children of Israel offered their babies to Molech. They heated him up till he was red hot. And they would take those babies and throw them in the arms of Molech, but to prevent them from hearing the crying, they would slam the cymbals together and beat on their other instruments to make a noise so they couldn't hear the baby. I read just this week where they did an excavation in Carthage where they know they were sacrificing babies because they found the urns that contained the bones of those babies, and they were burned. And it's a special cemetery. There wasn't any other babies buried there except those that were burned. That is what Gehenna is all about. And it came from the very word Hinnom, or the valley of Hinnom. 12 times Gehenna is used in the Greek New Testament. Jesus Christ spoke 11 of those. So don't ever get in the idea in your mind that Jesus didn't teach the doctrine of hell. He did. Now, the moment we hear the doctrine of hell, we are stunned. We are horrified by it. We are astonished at the doctrine. We think of it and we say, This can't be. It just can't be. And every idea of justice that we think we know will bring up against this doctrine. It just can't be that way. I have many objections and answers. I may not get to them in this message. But we question the pain of hell. We question the very fire of hell. But you notice that he says here that he will destroy both soul and body in hell. We question, surely, the duration of hell. For if you can only say that hell will only last for a week, that, you say, we can kind of adjust to that, but not eternity. We find it hard to believe, even though Jesus stated this doctrine without any hesitation. We're already, always ready to find some other explanation for the doctrine of hell. We seek to find some way that those justly sent to hell will be rescued out of it and will no longer suffer there. They'll be able, somehow or other, we have this idea in the back of the mind that even those people that are sent to hell, someday, somehow, they will be brought out of that place and be able to sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me with all the saints in heaven. That's what we try to do. Some say, well, they just go out of existence. The Seventh-day Adventists say, when you die, you don't exist anymore. But Jesus said the soul never dies. It says that right here in our verse, see? To put it mildly, men by nature are prejudiced to the doctrine of hell. Let us then look at Jesus' teaching. First of all, this doctrine is true because Jesus Christ said it's true. That settles it for every believer. The only way you can get rid of this doctrine is to get rid of Jesus Christ, to deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he didn't know what he was talking about, that he was deceived and deluded like other men. And if that wasn't enough, the next point is that you reject Scripture. You must say that the book of God is not God's word, and you can't believe it because you don't believe in hell. Others will say, God cannot do that and be just. And I remind you of the illustration I gave at the beginning of the message. How many things are there that you don't know anything about, but somebody else does? Jason just brought me a job this past week, and he sent me a picture of it. And when I saw the picture of it, I pretty well instantly knew what kind of metal he was dealing with. And the person that welded it didn't know what it was and didn't know how to weld it. But I knew that it was malleable iron. And you can't weld malleable iron with an arc. Now, I know that because I've worked in the trade. Most of you wouldn't know that. Listen, if there are degrees of knowledge like that among us, and there is, how much more is the knowledge of Jesus Christ, who is our Creator? And he says, don't be afraid of him that can kill the body, but can't do anything to the soul. Therefore, let us recognize in the beginning, I may not be able to understand the doctrine of hell. I may never be able to give a satisfactory explanation of it, or the justice of it, but that doesn't change one thing. It's still true because Jesus Christ said so. Secondly, the doctrine of hell taught by Jesus Christ is plain. There's a lot of doctrine that I have a hard time understanding. I've racked my brain many a time over passages of scriptures and doctrines that are plainly revealed. You know what I have to do? I have to say, Lord, I don't understand it, but by your grace, I believe it. That's what you've got to do when you come to the doctrine of hell. You've got to recognize it's plainly revealed. It doesn't make any difference if you can understand it or if you can justify it. None of that counts. If you have a question, it must be this. Do I believe Jesus Christ? If you do, you receive this doctrine. That must be. Now, you can't misunderstand the word of Jesus Christ. Listen, he says here, don't be afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to kill or destroy both soul and body in hell. This teaches hell is a place of conscious punishment. It is not a state. Some say, I've had people say, oh, well, I think your hell is here. It doesn't make a bit of difference what you think. I've heard people say war is hell. I never was in a single battle while I was in the Marine Corps, but I knew a lot of men that were. And I've heard them say it was hell. Bad as it was, I don't care what war or what battle it was, as bad as it was, and as great as the suffering was in that battle, and the horrors of it, it cannot approach the doctrine of hell, and war is not hell. There is a place of eternal duration, and it can no more end than the righteousness of God's saints. Let me turn you to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. We'll look at verse 46. And these, he's talking about the unbelievers, shall go away. Now listen to what he says. I'm talking about a plain doctrine into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now, let me remind you that the word punishment in Greek and the word eternal in Greek is exactly the same word. It's two different words in our translation, but in the Greek, it's exactly the same word. It's eternal punishment and it's eternal life or righteousness. So you can't decrease that of hell and make it less than eternal and keep the righteousness of the saints as an eternal thing. If you take away time from one of them, you're going to take it away from the other, because they're both exactly the same. It's an eternal thing, the punishment and the joy of the righteous in glory. Let me give you an example. Turn to Luke chapter 16 and verse 24. Luke 16, 24. Now this is the rich man, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I want to ask you a question. Was the rich man in a place of no pain? No. He was in a place of pain. The fire was tormenting him. And he said, just let Lazarus dip the tip of his finger in water and come cool my tongue with it. Therefore, you can recognize that when the text says destroy both soul and body, he's not talking about destroying the soul after death of either the righteous or the unrighteous. The unrighteous, his soul is not going to be destroyed. It's not going to be put out of existence in the sense that you often give the word destroy. But here, the idea is this. It is not that being is destroyed, but well-being is destroyed. And we know that, for example, when Christ said that if you take new wine and put it in an old bottle, those old leather bottles made out of the skin of an animal, they were rigid and stiff because they were old. And if you put new wine into an old skin, when it fermented, it would burst the bottle and the wine would be lost. But let me tell you something. That bottle wasn't destroyed. You could make a pair of shoes out of it. Or you could make a pocket for a slingshot or a sling. Or you could do many other things. So he's not talking about exterminating when he says destroy, but destroys the well-being. That's what happens in hell. There are many other examples. I won't take time to mention them. My third point is this. Hell is just. Every sinner is a violator of the law of God. In Exodus chapter 20, we have the 10 commandments given. James says, if you break one of those commandments, you've broken the whole thing. It's just like suspending a chain with 10 links. And I put a hook in it and put a belt on you and suspend you. And then I take the torch and I cut one of those links completely in two. What happens? You fall. If you break one law, you've broken them all. Which simply means that they're all together. And you can't just break one law. You're going to break the whole thing. And every sinner, because of his sins, deserves hell. You say, I don't think that's fair. Doesn't make a bit of difference what you think is fair. These are the teachings of Jesus Christ. There are none righteous, no, not one. We were born sinners. We practice sin. We are immersed in sin. And sin is a part of our being as much as our breathing and the beating of our heart. And we don't recognize sin. You know, when you have bad breath, you're probably the last one that will know it. You can't smell your own bad breath. Film that I saw, he went into Santa Claus, climbed up on Santa Claus's lap, and he looked right up in his face, and he said, you've got bad breath. Santa Claus didn't know it. We don't know how we stink in the nostrils of God because of our sins. And therefore, we have to take care. Our conscience is defiled. And it doesn't work like it should. It gives a little bit of a reason of our sins and our subjection to wrath, but it doesn't reveal the whole thing because it's saturated with sin. And so, what do lost men do? Instead of believing the record that Jesus Christ has got, they will say, well, no, I'm not too bad of a person. I haven't done a lot of things. I try to do the right thing. But let me tell you something. That won't do for you. You need a great Savior. My final point is hell is for sinners who do not repent and trust Jesus Christ. Jesus through the Scriptures, answered the question, what must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever from the heart said, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come, just as I am, waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Have you ever prayed like that? Or what about how Augustus Toplady put it? Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Helpless look to thee for grace, foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Jesus has given us the truth about hell. His statements are so plain that we can never question it. There is an eternal hell for every person that dies as an unbelieving, unrepentant sinner. And the only hope that you can have is not in anything you've ever done, but in what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. Look unto him, and you shall be saved. May the Lord bless you.